This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Sharon Brody. More now on Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, who died yesterday at the age of 79. We are joined by Harvard Law Emeritus Professor Alan Dershowitz. Good morning.
Good morning. It's a sad day. You know, I knew Justice Scalia for many, many years. I even knew his father. His father was a professor at Brooklyn College when I was a student there. And in fact, Nino and I really bonded initially over his father. He was a subject of our mutual conversation. And we debated many, many, many times. He invited himself essentially to come to my class early in his career to debate me on how to read the Constitution. And it was a fascinating class because he was a justice of the Supreme Court. And he started the class by saying, look, don't treat me as a justice. I'm just another person with ideas. And every student in this class and the professor are my equals for purposes of this debate. The best ideas will prevail. And we went on for 2 hours. And it was a fascinating debate with the justice of the Supreme Court about how he reads the Constitution.
And I take it that the way he read the Constitution was not exactly in line with how you do.
That's exactly right. I mean, he read it as essentially an originalist, although he came up with his own theory of originalism. He didn't look to the specific intent of the individual framers. He looked more generally at the context of what was going on at the time of the framing. But, you know, he was an originalist, and his originalist interpretation generally led him to conservative conclusions, but not always.
How do you sum up, briefly, Justice Scalia's place in the history of the court?
I would say he's among the top 10 justices in terms of influence on the court. He introduced really a new way of interpreting the Constitution. He also introduced a new way about writing opinions. I mean, his slashing personal opinions, which offended some of his colleagues, but which made his opinions eminently readable, was an innovation. When you compare his opinions to the great opinions of Justice Holmes or Justice Brandeis, you know, he's much more quotable in some ways, but that put off a lot of his fellow justices. And he often didn't try to reach consensus. As he famously said, he didn't take an oath to support his colleagues' opinions. He took an oath to support the Constitution as he believed it. You know, you can't understand Justice Scalia without understanding his Catholicism. He was a very conservative Catholic to the right of the Vatican. He would mockingly talk about the hot-off-the-press catechisms of the Vatican, which he disapproved of, for example, its condemnation of the death penalty. And he interpreted the Constitution much the way he interpreted the Bible. In fact, we once had a conversation about comparative interpretation between the three things he loved the most, the Bible, the Constitution, and opera. And he talked about how he doesn't like when singers take too many liberties with the way in which the writer of an opera composed an aria. So he was consistent with his view of interpretation.
Justice Scalia was a graduate of Harvard Law School and an editor of the Harvard Law Review. What do you think his time at Harvard, in Cambridge, in Greater Boston might have had on him?
Well, he loved Harvard. He didn't particularly love all the current professors. He thought it was moving, you know, far too much to the left. But he loved Harvard. And he talked fondly about his days on the Harvard Law Review. You know, Harvard was the first elite Ivy League institution to accept him. His years at Harvard were intellectually very stimulating to him. I think they also helped him react against the perceived liberalism. Even back then, there was a liberal slant on constitutional interpretation, although not to the degree there is today.
I wonder what you think Justice Scalia would think about the controversy and battle over what comes next.
Oh, he clearly would have said, this is the obligation of the president to fill this vacancy now. You know, the Constitution is as clear as it could be. It's the job of the incumbent president. The Constitution doesn't talk about lame ducks. The president is as much the president on, you know, January 10th of next year as he was on January 30th of the year he was sworn in. So I think he would say the president has a firm obligation to nominate and the Senate has an obligation to advise and consent.
Harvard Law Emeritus Professor Alan Dershowitz on Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, who died yesterday. This is WBUR.